Hello to all Earth citizens and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Kianush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare, leadership, and education with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through education and application of EQ and SQ. And our mission is to connect, collaborate, and partner with hospitals, academics, college and medical schools, and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, and self-coaching to achieve well-being and peak performance of individual and the team as a one connected whole. Today, our special guest speaker is also one of our new board members at MCCG, Dr. Judy Neal. Judy has received her PhD from Yale University in Organizational Behavior. She's Executive Director of Global Consciousness Institute, which is a nonprofit as well. She is also founder, chairman, and CEO of Edgewalkers International. Judy is recognized as an expert on spirituality in the workplace. Hi, Judy. Hello and welcome to the board and our podcast. It's such an honor to have you today.
Hi, Kayanush. It's very nice to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you for accepting that. And please, Judy, let us know, what else do you like our audience and people and the world to know about you? What did I miss?
Oh, I think that was about it. The only thing you missed is that I play electric bass in an all-woman band.
Oh my goodness, I've heard you, and it's just Judy is an artist too. That point really, I shouldn't have missed that. But I'm glad that you brought it up. I wish you could have played for us too tonight, but maybe another time.
Maybe another time. I would love to. Absolutely. Yeah, I think the only other thing is that I've written 10 books. Or edited books that are on workplace spirituality and transformation. That's been the focus of my work for the past 30 years, basically.
So wonderful. That's the only other thing that I missed. So 10 books. I've read only, I think, one of your books, and I'm really impressed and fascinated with your work. So let's just start from the edgewalker. What does edgewalker mean? I mean, for me, it's really a meaningful word, because as an NDE experiencer, I always feel that I'm living on the edge between life and afterlife, looking at the both realm. But where did you get this word and the name as edgewalker for your institute?
Yeah, thank you. That Edgewalkers is the first book that I wrote, and it came out of interviewing leaders, particularly business leaders, but leaders in the arts and in healthcare and in nonprofits, who have a very strong spiritual life and who were very competent and effective in the business world or the organizational world. And so the idea of edgewalkers is that these were or are people who integrate their spiritual life and their very practical daily life in the material world. So they walked between these two worlds. And then the more I started interviewing people like that, I also found that they often were cross-cultural and they were cross-functional, and that they walked between many worlds. But the one that intrigued me the most was the spiritual and the material, because that's what I was trying to do. So I wanted to learn from them. I agree with you that NDE really proves to us that this physical world isn't all there is. I had my own near-death experience when I was 24, and it threw me for a loop, because at the time I was an atheist, and yet I had died and gone to be with the allness, the universal, the cosmic consciousness, and I didn't believe in that. And so here I was, you know, in this love and bliss, and it didn't make much sense to me. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm crazy. But, you know, over time I found out I'm not the only one who had that kind of experience, and that's a real gift to know that being in this body is not all there is. to our existence. So I'm with you on that path. I think it's, you know, it's one of the most important walking between worlds we can do.
Exactly. I completely agree with you. So, and you don't have to die, you know, to be a spiritual or have the gift of the spirituality. That's the gift that is within all of us. So, and we all know that just connecting with our true self and the universe is just opening us to it. And also it comes also with the education too. So we all have been born spiritual, but the work that we do, we are earning more spiritual intelligence, you know, skills. I mean, we are going to talk about that later. And my second question is that you are an executive director of the Global Consciousness Institute. Can you describe how does this work is related to your lifelong work and vision of the workplace spirituality? And I love that name, workplace spirituality.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I've spent most of my academic career and my practitioner career in the field of workplace spirituality. And at first, it was in the early 90s when I first started doing that research. What occurred to me was that when I lived my own spirituality in my work, things were easier and relationships were deeper and people trusted me and I would have stronger intuition and I would be guided into what was the best path for me to take when I could surrender and allow the universe to guide me. And so that seemed like this amazing secret that shouldn't be kept secret anymore. So at first, this was a very much an individual path of trying to understand more about how it was working for me, and then how does it work for others? And what can we learn from each other? And how can we give each other more courage to actually live the spirituality and not hide it and talk about it? Because before, it used to be really considered, you know, you're crazy, you're woo-woo, you're not grounded, you're not practical. But I was meeting people, including CEOs, for whom it was the most practical thing in the world. And so that was my study and my work for the longest time. And in the last, I'd say 10 years, I really began to feel like that wasn't enough. I used to think we could shift the world through business. And that business being the most powerful and best resourced organization on type of organization on the planet, if we can shift business leaders, then the whole planet will shift. Well, yeah. it hasn't turned out that way so far. You know, and, yeah, there's the really a lot of enlightened leaders who are you know, really inspiring others. But it didn't seem like it was highly leveraged enough. And what were you going to say?
No, I completely agree with you about you touch on the intuition too. And I believe also many of the successful CEOs that we are seeing that they are successful, they are also intuitive too. And that comes probably with the kind of spirituality that they have, but maybe they are not aware of it. So let's put it that way. And to me, yeah, spirituality is just also the inner connectedness, is the inner connectedness with ourselves, inner connectedness, interconnectedness, and intraconnectedness with ourselves, with others, and with the universe. And I think that's, for me, is a spirituality and completely related to our intuition as well. But I mean, talking about spirituality, Judy, what's the spiritual intelligence and what's the difference of the spiritual intelligence and the spirituality and the religion?
Well, like you said, spirituality is inherent in being human. And, you know, I have done this little experiment where I've asked a whole lot of people, just kind of casually, have you ever had a spiritual experience or experience that filled you with awe or made you feel connected to something greater than yourself? Even atheists and people, humanists who may not consider themselves spiritual, in every case, they had an experience they could share.
Exactly.
Now, Yeah, this is not scientific, but it led me to believe not only are we all spiritual beings, but we've all had spiritual experiences, whether we call it that or not. So,
exactly. Yeah. So maybe it's just the word, the name, because as you mentioned, we all had a spiritual transformational experience, something in life that has changed us at some point that we have hit the bottom. You know, it's a trauma, it's a suffering, it's an NDE. So for everyone, it's a different thing. So maybe it's just people call it different things.
Right. They might use different language for it. But then what do we mean when we talk about workplace spirituality? And that would be those kinds of experiences informing our work. And then what's the difference between spirituality and spiritual intelligence? And there's certainly an interconnection. But so many people have these spiritual experiences. Like you say, it could be traumatic. It could be a major loss. It could be an NDE. It could be an out-of-body experience. There's so many transforming experiences. But for some people, they go, oh, well, that was weird. Now let me get back to my normal life. And they just discount it, and they don't get curious about its deeper meaning.
Yeah, I completely, and how difficult it is, especially, you know, with the people who have had these experiences coming back to the, as you mentioned, the normal life, you know, and just lost in the transition and just making the connectedness, you know, between these two worlds. But how it is, all of this is related to being an edge worker.
Well, let's also talk about the difference between spirituality and religion. And one of the things I do when I teach about this is I will ask my students, let's brainstorm all the words you can think of related to spirituality. And we'll put them on a whiteboard or a piece of paper on the front of the classroom. And then we'll say, let's brainstorm all the words you can think of related to religion. And sometimes they have the same words, you know, often words like community or forgiveness or compassion fit in both spirituality and religion. And then we'll say, well, what are the differences? And most people will define the difference as spirituality being more generic, like more of an umbrella term that can include religion, but it doesn't have to. And that religion is within organizations, it's institutionalized, it has a set of teachings and a set of norms that you would adhere to if you're a member of that religion, whereas spirituality is more freeform than that. Mm-hmm. And then spiritual intelligence is something that can grow out of either a spiritual practice or religion, you know, or both. But spiritual intelligence is a set of skills. And you and I have both studied with Cindy Wigglesworth and the 21 Skills of Spiritual Intelligence, the SQ21. And yeah, and she defines spiritual intelligence as skills-based, that these are things we can develop beyond just being a spiritual being naturally, that we can take those, as particularly those awakening experiences, and say, oh, what can I learn from this? How can I grow? How can I be a better person? How can I make more of a difference in the world? How do I need to develop myself so that I will have a higher level of spiritual intelligence and therefore make a bigger difference? So that's the way I look at these three different concepts. They're interrelated, but they're not exactly the same.
I see. And how is it related with being an edge worker, Judy?
Well, some of that, again, you would have a lot of overlap. Now, edge walkers, when I interviewed people in the book, many of them had a faith tradition. Not everybody did. So there was, again, some overlap there. And one of the differences with edge walkers and with SQ21 is Cindy Wigglesworth, in her work, went very deep into the skills. And she built that on emotional intelligence and then went beyond that into, you know, what are the higher level skills. In Edgewalkers, we define 5 skills, and they're not exactly the same as the SQ21 skills. We only have 5, where she has 21. And we have five qualities of being, that these were the things that I saw in common with the leaders that I interviewed. They had similar qualities. Some of the qualities, for instance, were a high level of self-awareness, which is actually part of the SQ21. And then they had very visionary. They had visions. They, you know, could see into the future and help create that future. And then they also had the quality of playfulness, which was the one that I found the most intriguing. I did not expect that in my research. And then the skills include a skill of knowing the future. And I talk about three ways of knowing the future. One is the typical traditional way of predicting the future from the past. The second way is this in using your intuition, for, you know, whether it's a sense of gut or a sense of your heart calling you or hearing voices that guide you. That's the second way of knowing the future. And the third way is really understanding that we co-create the future with the universe. It's like we've got a business partner here. And if we can co-create, then we're that much more impactful. So that's one of the five skills. Another skill is risk-taking. And that's an interesting one because when you look at the life histories of people who are edgewalkers, who have high SQ21, their stories are full of major changes in their lives. And other people would say they're big risk takers. But the person themselves would not say that because there's this inner knowing that it's like, I knew that I should bet the farm on this particular project, or I knew I should leave this job and go start my company, or I knew I should sell my company and go work for this corporation. It's like this, just this knowing that is in your bones. And so it looks risky to others, but that deep sense of knowing that comes from contact with source, that is just helps you to live life in a highly adventurous way, but it doesn't feel risky, even though it looks that way.
I know. And it really makes sense to me, Judy. I'm definitely an edgewalker before being anything else. So just that, I don't know, it happens because of my near-death experience, or it just, I always have been like this, but it just, especially when I founded, you know, the MCCG, this sense of inner knowing that you were talking about, and the co-creating the future with the universe, these are all just talking, you know, what is going on in my mind. And I'm sure so many people are having the same feeling that I have right now, and it's resonating to them as well. And we all know that you have been the pioneer of the workplace spirituality, and my field is the healthcare. So I just want to ask you that if you can describe that, how we can apply our spirituality and spiritual intelligence in the healthcare and education system without promoting for any religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. That's let me back up a little bit and say one of the things I did when I ran the Center for Spirit at Work was I worked with a team of people to create the Spirit at Work Award to find and honor organizations that were explicit about nurturing the human spirit in their organization.
So beautiful. Spirit and at Work Award. Yeah. So.
We did it for 10 years. And that was like between 2001 and 2011. And there was something like 43 organizations in 39 countries. And we have information on the edgewalkers.org website that describes each of these organizations and what their spiritual practices and policies were. So there's, you know, there's a database about what different organizations have done or are doing. But the reason I mention that is if you were to look at the industrial categories that these organizations were in, you will find more in healthcare than in any other field. And I would say education back then, at least, I think things have changed, but back then, education might have been a close second. And consumer goods is another category that we saw a lot of. I think Yogi tea, for instance, you know, that was found by yogis, and they wanted to run their company on yogic principles. And so healthcare is a natural place to have spirituality in the workplace and to support spiritual intelligence. And Cindy Wigglesworth, I mean, her first clients with the SQ21 were Methodist Healthcare System and Memorial Hermann Hospital both in Texas, where she lives. And, you know, she was able to really validate and refine her approach to SQ21 because of this work in healthcare. That, you know, spirituality, and like we talk about near-death experiences, spirituality is about life and death.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And so is healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and healing also is just as a whole person, it comes, you know, the whole person as mind, body, medicine, and soul. So the soul part is just the spiritual part of the person.
Absolutely.
As well. Yeah, exactly. So I definitely invite our audience, you know, to go and check, you know, your website to look for more information about this research and interviews that you have done and bringing spirituality to other organizations, especially the wars that you were talking about. And just getting close to the ending. So what do you have as a spiritual message from the universe for our world that you think people may like to know and remember you by it? I know there's so much you have for the world to share, but our time is so limited. So what do you have as your, what do you call it, of your last message?
I think a big part of my message is that we are naturally evolving, even though if you read the news, it doesn't look like that, but that if you look for the positive stories and you look for the expansion of love and consciousness in the world, the more you look, the more you'll find it, and that it will lead to a sense of hope and a sense of courage, which can encourage you to do your part, whatever it is you're called to do, to move us all towards a higher level of collective consciousness and spiritual intelligence. So just keep listening deeply to what wants to emerge in you and emerge in the world.
Wonderful, beautiful. Listen deeply. And I just say, hey guys, pay attention to the sign that universe is sending you. So, and it's hard to differentiate between the signs, you know, and the buzzes. So that's two different things. The sign that the universe sends comes from your inner voice, but there's so much buzz in the back as a background noises. So just be careful about that. So,
well, and one of the ways I tell the difference is if it leads to something more loving, it comes from the universe. And if it leads to something that's more constricting and smaller, then it's coming from your ego self. And you might not want to listen to that.
Yeah, and what a beautiful place, you know, to close our session. You talked about love, you know, and it's just, we are recording this episode on a special Valentine's Day. It's a love day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, Judy, too. So we have a heartfelt gratitude to you and to our audience. And we record this session on the Valentine's Day, and that means that we wish you all a meaningful love, a happy heart, and a soulful journey. Have a wonderful time, everyone. Goodbye to our listeners, and remember, one podcast at a time. Thank you for being with us for another one. You can visit our website at myconscious.org to learn more about us, or write to us at coach@myconscious.org. And please stay connected by following us on our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, not to miss our upcoming episodes and events. Love and light from all of us to you. Make it a great day, everyone.